The epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have poetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Well, as some of you may know, I'm not really a big sports fan. It's okay, and a game every now and then is fine, but, well, it's not the way I choose to spend most of my time, but that doesn't mean that I'm totally sports illiterate. As a matter of fact, I have a working knowledge of most of the major sports, and I can carry on a rather intelligent conversation about the latest and greatest that's going on in the sports world. And sometimes I occasionally pick up bits and pieces of totally useless information that I like to pass on. Most people call it trivia. How many of you know who Earl Weaver is? Earl Weaver. Okay, well, for those of you who don't, he had a 17-year career with the Baltimore Orioles. He was their manager. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1996, and he did not make it on his personality, which tends to be, well, downright nasty. You see, he has a trigger temper, and he would often unleash it on his players and on the umpires. And when an umpire made a call that he didn't like, he would run out of the dugout, get in their face, and scream, "Are you going to get better than this, or is it all?" Now, I have to admit that sometimes I'd like to scream that at the world. As a Christian, I ask myself, when I look at the world and the church and myself, are we going to get any better than this? Or is it it? And I realize that that's a tough question. I mean, how do we take a world that is so broken, so filled with greed and hate and mistrust? How do we take it and begin to build something that is fair and equitable, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world? Given the complexities of a global economy and a cultural diversity, is such a world even possible anymore? I mean, would it help if we put the greatest economic and religious minds and sociological and psychological minds together? Would we be able to turn the world around? Well, you know, as improbable as it may sound, I think that it's time for Christians to stop trying to think their way out of the problem and start feeling our way out instead. In the words of Reverend Julie Pennington Russell, what the world needs more than discipline, more than knowledge, more than zeal, is love. And I am convinced that nothing will distinguish us as Christ followers more clearly in this world than a genuine commitment to love, more radically, more earnestly, more deeply than ever before. I've read that quote several times over the last couple, 3 weeks. And every time I read it, I pause and I think about it. And sometimes, my cynical self takes over. And I say, you know, that sounds really good. The power of love to change the world. But I also know that it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus told us that the greatest commandment was to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. And I know that during that time there have been more poems and songs and books written on the subject than anything else combined. I mean, when was the last time you heard a song that was not about love found, love lost, love jilted, love? But it hasn't changed anything, has it? Have you ever wondered why? Why are we always talking about it and searching for it and longing for it and hoping for it? And yet, not much in our life changes. Is it because loving is really that difficult? Or is it because we make it that difficult? Well, in all fairness, the answer is both. To live a life marked by love is to live contrary to almost everything society teaches us. I mean, after all, one of the first lessons we learn as a child is that we're the masters of our own destiny and the keeper of our dreams. And the second lesson is that we have to look out for number one. We know what we need the most. And if we don't look out for ourselves, nobody else is. And if we happen to step on a few people on our way to finding our destiny and our dreams, well, so be it. No one ever said life was fair, right? Get a grip. And then I look around. And I see a lot of successful people. Some who have made it all the way to the top of their profession. And I see the stress. I see the isolation. And the hurt. And I wonder, is it worth it? Is the life we're living worth all the stress that our philosophy creates? I mean, think about how freeing it would be to look at others not as competition, but as companions. To see them as being the source of your strength, not the cause of your weakness. To actually live as though they are the solution and not the problem. Can you imagine living your life out of love in place of suspicion? Can you imagine letting go of all the sarcasm and doubt? I mean, think about it for a minute. Think how freeing that would be. And friends, if you can imagine it, then you can imagine Christians throughout the world joining hands to begin laying the foundation that will help to build that dream into a reality. In the passage that was read just a few moments ago from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the apostle begins by telling us what we have to cut out of our lives if we want love to take root and grow. We have to stop impressing the Joneses. We need to stop putting people down. We need to stop ridiculing, belittling everyone who doesn't agree with us. And we need to stop building ourselves up by holding someone else down. And Paul says, by the way, the temper tantrums, they have to stop. And as for those grudges that we like to feed every now and then, you know, just to keep them going so that we can reach in and grab them whenever we want to be mean and nasty and say, this is what people did to me. Paul wants to know if that's really making our lives better. Dr. Phil would say, how's it working for you? Now here's the good news. According to Paul, if we let go of the negative feelings, if we stop allowing them to control our lives, if we refuse to allow things like jealousy, arrogance, rudeness, self-centeredness, irritability, falsehoods, injustices, and grudges, you now have a pretty free life, don't you, if you let go of all of those? If you let go of all of those, then love can take root. And it can grow. There will be more than enough room in our lives to begin to look at people, to begin to look at the earth, to begin to look at all of God's creation with new eyes. It won't be easy. We'll have to retrain our minds and reprogram our reactions. We'll have to learn to think positively in place of negatively. Because you see, Paul tells us that if love is what marks our lives, then we have to remember, love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And to love like that is a pretty tall order. And there's no way we can do it on our own. But we need more than an example. We need someone who will lead us and who's not afraid to hold us accountable. The problem is that People like Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa only tend to come around once in a lifetime. But here's the really good news. If we honestly believe that there's an answer to the world's problems, if we want to become one of those whose lives are marked by love, then we have the leader that we need. The one who will show us the way and hold us accountable, and his name is Jesus Christ. The one whose very nature is love. Follow his commands, and in the end, love will become something more than a sentimental feeling filled with good intentions. Allow him to guide us, and love will become something we do, something we live out each and every day in his holy name. Do you believe it? Do you believe that love will never end? To God be the glory, and all God's children say, amen.